All right, let's start at the bottom of Amud Chem Amud Bet. It's the Tan Rabbanan. Shvuat HaDayanim Af Hi B'Lishona Nemra. So now the Gemara is going to later on discuss what this means, but basically it can be Af B'Lishona means in any Lashon. We'll see it loosely like this. The Gemara is going to discuss what this means. Omrim Lo. So now they present to the individual before he takes the Shvuat HaDayanim, they say to him, Shekol HaOlam Kulo Nizdazea B'Sha'a She'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Sinai. The whole world shook, right? It quaked when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai, Lo tisad Shem Hashem Lokecha Lashav. Now, each of these pieces of the Brayta, the Gemara will come back later and discuss what's unique or what's special about it. V'chol Averot Shebetorah, Nermar Bahem V'Nakeh. Right, all the other Averot of the Torah, it says that one can be cleansed. V'ka Nemar Lo Yinakeh, that one cannot be cleansed, purified, and forgiven for this Averah. When it comes to any other Virabat Torah, he himself is punished. And here by Shvuat Sheker, not only is he punished, but his entire family is punished. Shenemar, it says, don't let your mouth, right, cause evil or bad to come to Bisarecha, right, your flesh. Vein Bisaro ela Krovo. And Bisarecha here, Bisaro means Krovo, his relative. Shenemar, right, so don't look away from your family, from your relatives. Right, when it comes to any other avirah in the Torah, they take retribution from him. Not only from him, but the entire world also is subject to the punishment for his taking a shvuat sheker. So here we're talking about Shenemar. Because then here it says, this is the pasuk in Hosea, which we've bumped into a number of times before, which is Alo, right? V'chichesh v'ratzoach v'gano v'na'of paratzu v'damim negau. Right, so these are all these horrible things or evil things that the person is doing. Now Alo is, and the Gemara again will discuss this, Alo v'chichesh, here is he took an Allah, right? The Shvua v'chichesh, and he denies, and he lies. V'ema, so there the punishment, it sounds from there, we'll see the pasuk in Hosea, that the whole world is affected or punished for his what he does here. Vema, so now the Gemara says, Ad avi lehu lekulhu, maybe you should have to do all of them. I mean, in order to be chayav, maybe it's not sufficient that he does one of the items that are mentioned in the pasuk in Hosea, maybe he has to do all of these items. It should sound a little bit familiar from what we had at the end of Makot, when Rabbi Gamliel used to reach this pasuk, Vaya bocheh. He used to cry because the pasuk says in order to be good, you have to do all these items. And then Rabbi Akiva says, why are you crying? Because Rabbi Akiva says, right, Ele. Aleda, he proves that it means one of these items, not all of these items. Right? And that was one of the times that Nichamtanu Akiva Nichamtanu, that Rabbi Akiva was able to bring the Chama, that when we say that when there's a list of items, it's not that all of these items, but rather one of these items. So lo sakadatcho, you wouldn't think that you need all these items, because it says in Yirmiyahu, it says ki minafim malaha aretz ki mipnei Allah avlaha aretz yabshu neot midbar vatihim rutzatam ra'a gvuratam lochein. So talk about all these bad things are going to happen. Why? Ki minafim malaha aretz ki mipnei Allah avlaha aretz, because of the minafim, those that do niyuv, and mipnei Allah, those that are taking oaths, right, those that are swearing falsely, avlaha aretz, right, that caused the things to go bad, or things to go improperly in the land, uchtiv. And then it says, right, also in Hosea, it's the next pasuk in Hosea, after the pasuk that we had just read before, v'alo v'kichesh ratzoch v'no v'na'of paratzu v'damim b'damim nego. The next pasuk is, alkein te'eval ha'aretz. The same thing again, alkein te'eval ha'aretz. Just like in Yirmiyahu it says, right, ki mipnei Allah avla ha'aretz, v'umlal kol yoshev ba. Right, that the land is left desolate and in mourning. They're been left alone. All those that are living in it, b'chayata, sadeh, ba'ofa shamayim, with the wild animals and the birds, and also the fish will be gathered together. So you see, the punishment is not only does it affect him, but it affects everything. How do we know that just for Allah, that's sufficient? That's when the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which tells us that Allah is associated with Shea, where it mentions the punishment of Te'aval Aretz, similar to Avlah Aretz in Yirmiyahu, that it means it's only from the Allah. It's enough in the Allah, or the curse, that here not a curse, but here a Shavuah, it's enough if a person takes a Shavuah Sheker to be to cause this type of problem. Person has a schut, waits two or three generations to take retribution. Right here, immediately, he gets punished for Shavuot Sheker. Shenemar. So again, here we have a pasuk in Zechariah. And the pasuk in Zechariah says, Hotzeitia ne'um Hashem tzvakot uva el beit haganav ve'el beit hanishba bishmi l'shoker. Right, v'lanam betoch beito v'chilatu et etzav v'et ava nav. So tzitia, right? So it sounds like that's going to happen immediately, and then it'll wipe out his house. So that's what Gemara says. So tzitia al altar, it'll happen immediately. Hashem will take retribution. Ubal beit haganav. What's the beit haganav? Zeh agonev da'at abriyot. This is someone who is cheating people. He is misleading people. He is. Here, literally, it means stealing the minds of people, but he's causing them to believe in him, even though what he's saying is not necessarily true. She'en lo mamon etzel chaveiro, right? So he says that he doesn't have any money, but to ano, that he then makes a claim for him, umashbio, and he takes a shvuah. Well, beita nishba mishmi l'shaker, and that person who takes the shvuah l'sheker, they doesn't have the items, kemashmo, that's literally, because he takes the shvuah sheker, right? So then it says, v'ane betoch beito, right, that it'll become into his house, v'chalato, and it'll wipe it out, v'teitzav v'tavanav. It'll wipe out the bricks and the wood, or the stone and the wood. Halamata, dvarim, shen esh umayim mechalim otam. Fire and water cannot overcome etzim v'avanim, yet shvat sheker michale otam. On the other hand, shvat sheker is able to consume them. So you see the power, or I'm going to say the detrimental power of shvat sheker here, where the Shavuot Sheker is able to consume wood and the stone, which is not true of the, right, the Eish and the Mayim can't wipe out the house, but yet the Shavuot Sheker can knock it out. Okay, so that's the end of the verse. Now, Imamar Eni Nishba, if the person says, I'm not willing to take a Shavuot, now obviously he has two choices here. But in terms of Shavuot, he has one choice is that he takes Shavuot that Dayanim is Patur. The other choice is he doesn't take the Shavuot and he pays. So as soon as he says, Eni Nishba, Potrim Oto Miyad. Potrimoto here doesn't mean he's patur, but we get him out of Beis Din as fast as possible. That's what Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean, potrimoto miyad? Rashi says, we rush him out of the Beis Din. Ve'ein mishanoto kan. We don't wait a second. Shelo yachzorbo. We don't want him to retract. Valkorchach yishalei miyad. Shekabel ala beitin. As soon as he says, I'm not going to take the Shua, they have him out of there. Because once he leaves Beis Din, he cannot retract his statement. He cannot change his mind. So they rush him out of the Beis Din in order to prevent him from taking the Shavuah. It sounds from Rashi that we prefer that he does not take the Shavuah over here. Right? We prefer that he doesn't take the Shavuah in this instance. This is not governed by truth or not truth. Because of the severity of Shavuot, we prefer if he doesn't take the Shavuah at all, right or wrong. We prefer that he doesn't take the Shavuah. And therefore, as soon as he says, I'm not taking the Shavuah, we rush him out of there. Right? Again, not considering truth or not truth. We just say, okay, he's not going to take the Shavuah. Let's move on. B'maramar heini nishba. If he says, I'm willing to take Shua, homdim shamomrim, zelazeh, those that are standing there say like this, suro nami al olea nashim arshaim eila. So the quote in the pasuk from Korach Vadato, right, that where Moshe says to move away from the olim of these evil people. I mean, here it's clear that the Gemara has a very, very negative view of those that take a Shua. So we saw this at the end of yesterday's daf, the idea that the severity and the chumrah of Shua is to the extent that we try to avoid as much as possible, we try to prevent someone taking a shvuah. And someone who is willing to take a shvuah, we are suspicious. We're questioning it because we don't really want to see people taking shvuot in general. So that's a interesting, just a perspective here. And here the Gemara digressed to go on to this whole part about the iyum and about how the dangers of taking a shvuah sheker. Here they introduce before the individual takes a shvuah, they say to him all this that we just laid out over here. They tell him what the severity of taking a shvuah sheker is. They're trying to scare him, similar to what we have by the sota where ma'ayimim aleha, right? That they cause the fear also by edim when they come to Tesorei Son and Sanhedrin. That when we try to give them a sense of the gravity of what they're about to do, whether it's, you know, testifying in a case, whether it's the sota, being mochek, the shem Hashem. And over here, the shvuat ha-dayanim also is in that category of something that has a certain amount of gravity and severity to it, that we want him to understand what exactly it is he's going, and we're not even upset if he walks away and says, I won't take the shvuah. We'd actually prefer that outcome, and again, ignoring the truth or not truth here, they'd just rather he doesn't take the shvuah because of this, and that's what developed. You can see in the Gemara already, what developed as they moved away from shvuah to chefetz, and then later on with the gonim, that they move away from shvuah entirely, and they move to the arur. Because of this problem, the gravity and the severity, as well as with the problem that people became more inured to it, and therefore they were taking shvuot sheker, despite the gravity. And because of that, we moved away from shvuot and moved towards the arur. You can see already this process beginning in the time of the Gemara. Already the time of the Tanaim, we already see it moving. And by the time you get to Morim, they're already moved. And by the time the Gaonim, shvuot are gone, the Gamre. They're totally out of the picture. Now, uku mashbin oto. So we just had this on Daf Chof Tet just before. And when you take the Shvua, we're taking the Shvua not on what you think, right? So that you're taking it based on what Beis Din thinks, rather than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. Shkein Matzinu Moshe Rabbeinu Shishbiat Yisrael. This is what we quoted back on Chof Tet. When Moshe Rabbeinu made Bnei Yisrael take the Shvua, Amar Lehem Du. Shlo Adatchem Ani Mashbiatchem. It's not based on what you think. El Adat HaMakom Ve'El Dati. It's based on what I think, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. Shenemar Ve'lo Yitchem Levadchem. This Shvua is not just with you. Ki Et Asher Yeshno Po. It's with those that are here. Ein Le'olotam Homdim Al Har Sinai. Right, Yishno Po is the ones that were stood at Har Sinai, those that are present. Dorot Habayim, future generations. V'gerim atidim litger, or gerim, they're also going to in the future convert. Minayin, I don't know, they're included in the Shavua. Tomalo Amar, v'tashir einenu po, right, so those that are not here with us. V'ein le'ele mitzvah shekiblu alehem Har Sinai. Well, this brit, or this Shavua, only applies to the mitzvot they already had gotten at Har Sinai, because they preceded the Shavua. What happens to those that come? Mitzvot ha'atidot lihit chadesh kegon mikra megillah. What about mitzvot subsequent to this point in time that are post the Shavuah? How do we know they're also included in the Shavuah? Minayin tamalomar, because it says by the Megillah, kimu v'kiblu. Right, kimu v'kiblu is kimu mashakiblu kvar. They reestablished, they reaffirmed the brit or the Shavuah at the time of the Megillah, what they already accepted before. So included or added, or it's like an addendum to the Shavuah, that anything that was subsequent to that point, including Mikra Megillah, were then subsumed in the Shavuah, because they reaffirmed the Shavuah at the time of Esther. So now the Gemara is going to go through line by line here and break the Braita down into its component parts. You should just be aware that the Rishonim here, in terms of Shavuot in general, and Shavuot HaDayanim, there's a different views. The Torah says, Ubishmo Tishaveya, that you should take a Shvuah with Hashem's name. From the Pesukim, it sounds like it's an Asay. Uvishmo Tishaveya, take a Shvuah in the Shem Hashem. There are different views by the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim, or majority of the Rishonim, believe that Ubishmo Tishaveya is similar to what Rashi says over there. Im Yesh Lecha Kol HaMidot Eilu, right, all the things that are mentioned before in the Pasuk, then Ubishmo Tishaveya, then you're allowed to take a Shvuah. Not that there's a mitzvah Ubishmo Tishaveya. Rak, if you have to take a Shvuah, and you have all those midot, then you're permitted to take it to Ushmo Tishaveya. That's the majority of the Rishonim. There are other Rishonim who believe Ushmo Tishaveya is more like an asay, more like a Kiddush Hashem. Ushmo Tishaveya can also be just like a Chilul Hashem. When someone takes a Shvuat Sheker, when someone does not uphold or keep the mitzvot of Torah, it's a Chilul Hashem. On the other hand, if someone tells the truth and someone acts right in a manner that is considered praiseworthy, right, with integrity, and they conduct themselves in business, that's a way in Kiddush Hashem. Uvishmo Tishaveya. Uvishmo Tishaveya is a command. Take a Shvuah in the Shem Hashem, because that could be a Kiddush Hashem, meaning that a person who acts in this manner or conducts themselves in this manner, Uvishmo Tishaveya, that you have a right to take a Shvuah that's part of Kiddush Hashem. It's part of doing the right thing. I mean, the Shvuah should be B'Shem Hashem. What else are you going to, you know, take your Shvuah if it's not with the Shem Hashem? But also that there's a positive aspect to this. If one upholds their word and keeps their word, Uvishmo Tishaveya. So you have to just be aware of those two, that, you know, digressing views in, or divergent views in the Rishonim about Shvuah. The other thing is, you could see here from the Gemara, again, this view of those Rishonim that feel that Shvua is a dangerous thing. And already the Gemara starts with it, and I keep pointing it out, but you see it very, very clearly here in the flow of the Gemara, that it was already a problem in the Talmud Tanaim, then it, again with the Amoraim, and then into the Gonim's period. We see this over and over again, this idea that they're trying to move away, or they're trying to avoid Shvua as much as possible. My Afi Belushona Nimra. What does it mean that it's even its Lashon it said? The Kiditnan. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah they're quoting is the Mishnah in Sota. Ilu ne'marim b'chol Lashon. These items can be said in any language. I mean, there's no requirement of Lashon HaKodesh. The Mishnayot in Sota have two lists. One list is where the items can be said in any language. There's another list of items that can only be said with Lashon HaKodesh. So these are b'chol Lashon. Pashat Sota. Vidui Maaser. Kriyat Shema. Tfila. Birkat HaMazon. Ushvat HaEdut. Ushvata pikadon. Vekamar nami. And then our bright over here tells us af shvata denim mafi blushona nemra, that shvata denim is also in that category of items that are mentioned in there, or mentioned can be made or said in any language. So it's interesting here, by the way, the Rambam, if you look in the Rambam in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam talks about shvata dayanim being a derivative or a subset of shvata pikadon. And this is probably the source for the Rambam over here. This source is the Mishnah in Sota. The Mishnah in Sota never mentions Shvuat HaDayanim, only mentions Shvuat HaPikadon. Yet the Braita and the Gemara extends Shvuat HaPikadon to Shvuat HaDayanim. Just like Shvuat HaPikadon is said B'chol Lashon, so too Shvuat HaDayanim is said B'chol Lashon. So Amar Amar, so again, here we go. Again, next line in the Braita. Omrim lo, haviyodeya, shekol olam kolon izdazeya b'shash amar kodesh b'chol lo itisa shem alkech lashav. So this is the next line in the Braita. My time. Why did the whole earth quake? Why did the whole world quake when Hashem said this? Ilema, if you want to say, Mishum Titaev Bisinai, because it was given at Har Sinai, Eser Dibrot Namitaev. I mean, that's one of ten. I mean, what's so unique about Lo Tisa Hashem Elokecha L'Shav? There were nine other Dibrot also that the world could have shook and for. Ela Mishum Dichamiro, because it's very... the severity or the stringentness of this mitzvah, it's unique in this way. The Gemara says, "Umi chamira, is it so chamur over here? What do you mean? Why is it so chamur? Vatznan? We have the Mishnah in Yoma that says, when it talks about doing tshuva, it says, Elohein akalot. These are the lighter averot that one does that require tshuva. Asay velo tasay. Positive commandments and lo tasay. Negative commandments. Chutz, excluding milo tisa. Loti says excluded from that list of the kalot, it's in the list of the chamurot, which is exactly what we're looking for. But we haven't gotten to the question yet, which is now, chamurot, the Mishnah lists out, what are the chamurot? Zu kritot, umitot beitin, velotisa imahen. So there is all the kritot, all the mitot beizdin, and lotisa. So it's got good company. I mean, lotisa is not unique in terms of being chamur, because it's got much, any mitzvah that has a karet associated with it, or any mitzvah that has, or an avera that has a mitat vezin associated, is also classified as a chamur. So why? What is so unique about lotisa? Ela, kiditani taimo. But based on what the reason is written, v'choli v'roch, shabbat Torah, nemar behem v'nake, v'kan lo nemar nake. No, what's the severity? So you have a number of items here. I mean, I think it's a compounded view, meaning that it's not just the fact that it's this one item, but if you bring all of these items together, then in a compounded basis, it makes it into chamur. Shvua becomes very chamur. It was given at Sinai. Number two is, right, it is chamira. And the chamira is lo yinake, that there is no ability to get kapara for it, as opposed to other mitzvot that are nake. Here it says lo yinake. So Gemara says, wait a minute. V'chol avirot shebatorah lo namar behem lo yinake. What about all the other mitzvot of Torah do not have the statement lo yinake written by them? Vativ. It says, right, in Vanake, we never read, we read the Shlosh Esrei Midot, we end with Nake. But the Pasuk says, Vanake lo yinake, really, that's not, it, we parse the Pasuk for the Shlosh Esrei Midot, we parse it improperly in terms of the trop in the Pasuk. Right, so here would be Nake lo yinake. So there you see that there's a lo yinake by other mitzvot of Torah. That's not unique to Shavuah, that's talking about any mitzvot of Torah. Where it says, no, that lo yinake is the Kadrabi Elazar. That's for the drush of Elazar, the Tanyo. Elazar Omer, Iyav Shalomar v'nake. Can't say that nake, that he will be cleansed or forgiven. Shvar Nemar lo yinake, because it says he will not be. Iyav Shalomar lo yinake, you can't say he will not be cleansed or forgiven, because Shvar Nemar v'nake, because it says what? It says nake lo yinake. So that's it. Now, so Haketzat, how do we reconcile between these? Minake hu l'shavim, and makeh l'shenen shavim. Those are, that are cleansed or forgiven are those that are do tshuva. And those that don't do tshuva will not be provided with that ability to be cleansed or forgiven. And Rashi says over here, by us, that the implications from this are that by other mitzvot ha-Torah, by levirot ha-Torah, if you do tshuva, you're forgiven. If you don't do tshuva, you're not forgiven. Well, that implies here by Shavuot, where we say lo yinakeh, means that even with tshuva, it won't help you. So why is that? So Rashi points out, minakeh hu l'shavim, b'kan af l'shavim lo yinakeh below piron. Rashi says, yes, it won't be nakeh without paying. Meaning that in this case, it will not suffice the tshuva. In addition to tshuva, that would be piron. Hashem's going to take retribution from you. So generally, we say that tshuva, when it comes along, the tshuva is not only is it michaper, which is it protects you from the avera, but it's also mitaher, it cleanses you from the avera. But over here, by shvat sheker, even if he does tshuva, there's still that doesn't protect it, doesn't put up a trees, doesn't protect you from the punishment, and you will still require a piron even after one has done tshuva. Right now it says kol avirot shebatorah. Nifraim mimenu, v'kan mimenu umi mishpachto. All of Yerosh B'Torah, they take the punished only him. Here they punish him and his family. Gemara says, v'chol Yerosh B'Torah mishpachto lo. Is it really true that his family is not punished in other Yerosh B'Torah v'aktiv? V'samti ani et fanai, right, b'ayishahu ubi mishpachto. It says in the Vayikra and Kedoshim, talks about the person who worships the Molech, a person who does Avodah Zarah, that I will take my free time, I will turn myself towards him and his family. I will take out retribution, not only on him, but on his family. V'tanyo, I'm Rabbi Shimon, imhu chata mishpachto machatata, or machatu, really. Right, so if he sinned, what does it have to do with his family? Lomar lecha, ein lecha mishpacha, sheyesh ba mocheis. A family cannot have a tax collector. She'ain kula mochsin. That the whole family are not tax collectors. Ve'she'esh ba listim. She'ain kula listim. You can't have a thief or a robber unless the whole family are thieves and robbers. Mipnei. Why? Not because everyone's a thief. Not because everyone's a tax collector. Because of the simple reason. People can only grow up in a... It has their environments that are conducive to certain behavior. So their behavior is only generated through the environment. And only are only maintained because the environment is willing to accept those behaviors. And that's the answer here. Mipnei shemichapin alav. Because they are enablers. Those that don't stop him become enablers. They are enabling the behavior. They are enabling the activity. So everybody's a partner in the moches. And everybody's a partner in the gazlan because they enable that behavior. They provide a place of safety where this individual can conduct themselves in that manner. That's a very famous it was said by Netanyahu, but when he spoke after the 9/11 attacks, he spoke to Congress in the United States. This is what he spoke about, that states, that terrorism can only exist if there are states that are willing to harbor the terrorists, that allow the terrorists to be inside of them. I mean, that if those states are willing to provide the safety, then they have a base, they have a place they can always go, and they have a place to plan from. If they have no safety, terrorism can't exist because there's nowhere for them to go. And that's why the whole idea of terrorist states or states that allow terrorism to be in them came about because of this idea. They may not be quote-unquote terrorist states, but because they allow the terrorists to live on their land or they harbor the terrorists, they are enabling the terrorism to take place in the world. They become enablers, exactly this type of situation here, where the parties or the people who create the environment that allow such behavior to take place, they are partners in the crime. So Gemara says, okay, so now we see from that that it's not, that's not true. Other mitzvot, you also have this problem. The Gemara says, no, hotam bedina achrina. When it comes to the other mitzvot, the other avirot, he gets one punishment, the family gets a different punishment. Hocha by shvat sheker bedina didei. They get the same punishment that he is. They're equally culpable over here. They're equally culpable to the point where they get the same punishment. Kedetanyo, lekabraisa, Rabbi Omer, vichrati oto. It says, I will cut him off, give him karet. Mata malomar. It says over there, but the previous brother says samtiyat panai ba'ishahu ube mishpachto. So I would think yochol kol mishpacha kula bihi karet. I would think that the punishment of karet does not only apply to the individual himself who violates, who does the avodah zarah, does the molech, but also applies to his whole family. Tamalomar oto. Oto bihi karet v'lo kol mishpacha kula bihi karet. He gets karet, but not his whole family. So this is the idea that the punishment is differentiated. By other avirot, there's a punishment for him is karet. The other family gets a lighter form of punishment. On the other hand, when it comes to shvat sheker, they will get the same punishment that he will get. B'chol avirot shebatorah, again, this is the next line in the Braita. Shebatorah nifraim mimenu, v'kan mimenu, umikol olam kulo. Comes to any other avirot, they take from him. Here, he affects not only himself, but the entire world. And I skip the parentheses, which are the psukim that we quoted above. Kol avirot shebetorah mikol olam lo. What do you mean? There are other avirot Torah don't affect the rest of the world. V'aktiv comes from Vayikra, which says v'kashlu ish be'achiv, that they will trip each other up. Kimipnei cherev v'rodef ayin. They're running away from the sword, but there's no one chasing them. V'lo tiyeh lachem tkuma lifnei v'ichem. So what does it mean, v'kashlu ish be'achiv? Ish be'avon achiv. They'll be tripped up. Each one will be caught in the sins of his friend. Malmeid, shkoi Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. That all Bnei Yisrael are responsible one for the other. So here you have it. You have exactly this problem. What do you have here? You have exactly a case where I'm responsible or another individual is responsible for the Aveira that's being committed. Then that we just said, Shvat Sheker affects the whole world, not just himself. Here you have all the mitzvot. Kol Yisrael, Arevim Zeh Lazeh. So Gemara says, Otom, over there, Shiyesh Biyadam Limchot, Velo Michu. By the other mitzvot of the Torah, when are you Arevim Zeh Lazeh? That's only when you have the ability to object, and you don't object. Right? And you have the ability to stop it or object to the certain type of behavior, and since you don't stand up to that behavior, that's why you're chayav. But over here, even if you're not in the position to stop it necessarily, the shvuat sheker, the gravity, the severity of the shvuat sheker is so impactful that it affects everyone, even without the ability to be moche over here. All right. So now, ma'ika ben rishaim. So now, what's the difference here? You just said before that other mitzvot Torah, right? Not only he gets punished, but his family also gets punished. Not only gets he punished, the whole world gets punished. And we said by Shvat Sheker also, when it comes to him, he gets punished, and his family gets punished, he gets punished, the whole world gets punished. So let's try to understand here, what does that mean? How do we reconcile all of these? If you have tzaddikim, mishaim, how do they get all included in this picture? So that's what they're about to lay out here. So now, what is it? Who? Bishar Aveirot. In other Aveirot, he, bidinei. He gets whatever the din is. Whatever the din of that Aveira is, that's what he will be punished with. The individual who committed the crime, the individual who violated the Aveira. Urishaim de mishpacha, the rishaim and his family, B'din chamur. They will get punished with a din chamur, meaning a more severe form of punishment, not to the level that he is punished, but they will get a severe punishment. Urishaim da'alma, the rishaim in the rest of the world, b'din akal. They'll get a lighter form of punishment. Tzadike da'acha v'ocha p'tirei. The tzadikim, whether it's in his family or whether it's in the rest of the world, they are p'turim. Gabi shvua, when it comes to shvuat sheker, hu urishaim d'mishpacha b'dinei. He and the Rishayim and his family get the exact same punishment. That's what we just said before. That not only does he get punished, but his family gets the exact same punishment along with him. Which part of the family? That's the Rishayim. Rishayim da alma b'din chamur. And the Rishayim and the rest of the world get a severe punishment, as opposed to the kal that we saw by other Veirot. V'tzadike, who were p'turim before, whether it's family or the world were p'turim before, tzadikim da'ach v'ach b'din akal. They'll get punished by Shvat Sheker. They will also get punished. In this instance, they will have to carry some of the burden of the Shvuat Sheker. So that's this idea of the Chumrah of Shvuat Sheker, or the why we want to prevent the Shvuat Sheker, why we want to prevent Shvuot and all, is because the responsibility does not just simply lay on the individual taking the Shvuat, but on the family and anybody who's there, all of Klal Yisrael, responsible for this. So we're going to try as hard as possible to dissuade the individual from taking the Shvuat so we don't end up with a Shvuat Sheker. Imamar ini nishba, putrim oto miyad. We said before that if he says, I will not take the shvua, putrim oto miyad. We say, everything's good right away, get him out of here, sweep him out of Beis Din. Ve'amamar harini nishba, if he says, I'm willing to take the shvua, homdim sham omrim zeh lazeh, they say, sura na me'aloyah nishim hashim ha'ela. The Gemara says, bishlam ha'u dekamish tabo. So now it makes sense, the one who's taking the shvua, kayibi sura. He's the one who is in the violation. I mean, if he takes the shvua b'sheker, so therefore, he's the one who's Kaibi, right, or Besuru. He should be the one, Isura or Suru, Nami, Ala Ole, Ala Nishimar, Shemela. Ela, how do come Mashbele or Mashavele, Amai, the one who's causing him to take the Shua. When they say Suru, Nami, Oalim, Ole, Ala Nishimela, that's in the plural. Who are the two people they're talking about? They're talking about the Toveya and the Nidva. They're talking about both of them. Now, truthfully, the only one of them takes the Shua is the Nidva. He just takes the Shua to be Patur. So why, when it says Surah Nami Ole Anishimeilu, why do we say in plural? Why are we walking away from the Toveya and the Nidva? Why aren't we just walking away from the Toveya? So Gemara says, Kedetanyo, like the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Tarfon Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Tarfon says, Shuat Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shnehem. Right, so what is the Shuat Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shnehem? Right, that is by Shuat HaShomrim, but it's Shuat Hashem Tiyeh Ben Shneim, between the two of them. That means that the obligation for the Shvuah, right, devolves upon both of them. Here, the Rabbeinu Chananel on the previous Talmud explains. Perush, al zeh shenishba l'sheker, v'azeh shenatan lo b'lo edim, v'garam lo lichbor v'lishava. And then you hear this other individual caused him, who gave it without edim, and causes him to swear falsely. So not only is the one who actually takes the Shvuah b'sheker, but the one who conducted himself in a way that in the end forced them to come to Beis Din, where he has to force the individual into a position to take a Shvuah, that's also fault. You should have been preventative. You should have made sure that you wouldn't end up in a position where you have to take a Shvuah. You should have edim. You should have, right, ensure that we won't come into a situation where there's a possibility that he would deny the loan or deny the obligation. So you carry a certain amount of the burden here of the Shvuah. On the other hand, the Rimigash learns the Gemara a little differently. The Rimigash says, "Kiditanya Shimon ben Tarfon omer shvuah Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem lameid shashvuah chalal shnehem klomar." What does that mean? Avon hashvuah chalal shnehem. The avon devolves upon both of them. Hanidva, the one who's the defendant here, shu nishba l'sheker, because he takes the false shvuah. Ve'atovei on the claimant, ofishi odeh asher shvuah nishba shvuah sheker, because he knows he's causing him to take a false shvuah. He lets him go ahead and take the Shvuah. So that's one interpretation of the Rimigash, that the Toveya is Chayab because he's causing the Shvuah Sheker to happen because he knows the other guy is lying. And therefore he's generating a Shvuah Sheker. Not like the Rabbeinu Chananel says because of his actions prior to this it causes the Shvuah Sheker. No, but because he knows it's Sheker. And the other possibility, he says, V'yesh l'fereish, melameid sheshvuah chalal l'shneem, klomar, avon ha-shvuah chalal al-shneem, ozeh ozeh. The other interpretation, the Rebbe Gash says, it's not on both of them, but on either or. What does that mean? If the defendant takes a false shvuah, haribon shvuah chalalav, then he's responsible, v'atoveya patur, and obviously the toveya is not responsible. V'ima nidva nishba be'emet. On the other hand, if the nidva is nishba be'emet, takes a truthful shvuah, v'atoveya and if the Toveya is Toveya empty, meaning that he's making a claim that is not real and causing the other person to take a Shvuah, but it's a Shvuah Demet, he is the one responsible for the Shvuah in that case. So here the Reb Migash is saying that one of the two parties will end up. Chalal Shneim means that each party, if it's true, the Shvuah, then it's the Toveya, the claimant, that is at fault here for causing a Shvuah because he had a false claim. On the other hand, if the defendant takes the Shvuah falsely, because he's lying over here, then he's the one responsible. Not that they're both responsible, but each one can be responsible depending on the outcome. From the Rimigash, it sounds a little bit like the Shvuah that we're taking over here, when you take a Shvuah to Emet, that necessarily a mitzvah, it's just something that you have to do in order to protect yourself over here. Again, if you look at this in this context, we start to understand more and more why Beit Din is trying to force the Shvuah away. Meaning that even what Beit Din is trying to say, what the Gemara is saying over here, is that the Toveya should also feel a certain amount of angst about the fact that there's a Shvuah. He shouldn't just say, you know, listen, he owes me the money. If he wants to take a Shvuah checker, that's his problem. No, the fact that you're causing him to take the Shvuah checker, you carry some of that responsibility with you. And when you carry that responsibility, right, that means that you're going to be punished for the fact that he's taking a Shvuah checker over here. So you can't just say, you know, that be nikyon kapai, that I'm clean over here, my hands are clean. If he wants to take a Shvuah checker, that's his problem. No, it's your problem as well. And that's why, again, we try to, the Gemara is so measured in its wanting to have anybody take a Shvuah because of the implications of taking such a Shvuah. Okay, Ushmashbino to Omrim lo have a Yodeh Shlo Adatcha. So this we saw in the Gemara earlier. What does it mean? Why do they have to tell him that you're not doing it based on what you think, but rather on what we think? And this we saw in the Gemara back on Chavtem Ra'al Mishum Kanyu D'Rova. That's because of the case of the staff of Rava, right? We quoted that before, the Gemara in the Dorim, which is where he took a Shvuah and said that he handed him his walking stick or his staff. He gave him and he took a Shvuah that I gave you the money back. The guy says, what are you talking about? That's total sheker. He says, no, it's not. Then he breaks the staff and inside of it is the money. Basically, so you could see that he was taking a Shvuah based on what he thought. I mean, he said, I returned the money. Even though they had no clue that he returned the money, he had handed him the stick with the money in it, and he claimed that was returning the money. So to prevent that type of behavior, where people can reinterpret the Shvuah to mean what they want it to mean, so over here we say, no, you're taking the Shvuah based on what we think, what Beis Din, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks, so that, know that the Shvuah is not, you can't make up things or change names of things in order to, right, get away with this not being a Shvuah Sheker. What we're expecting is to hear exactly what we think, not what you think. Right now, we come to Atanash de Kesef. We're going back to the Mishnah now. So we completed looking at that Braita at this point in time. And now we're moving back to the Mishnah itself. In the Mishnah begins with, and this is a machlokas that we mentioned yesterday, and Svi, you asked the question on the Mishnah yesterday, internal kustir in the Mishnah. Here the Gemara is going to ask the question that you asked, which is, what is this? Atana shtei kesef. The claim has to be two kesef. Amar Rav, so the opinion of Rav is, kfirat ta'ana shtei kesef. Rav says that the denial of the claim has to be two kesef. I mean, that has to be two kesef, shtei kesef worth of denial in the claim in order to have shvuata dayanim. So obviously that means that he has to have a hoda'ah, he has to have admission of something beyond that. So that means that the claim must exceed shtei kesef. So the claim has to, by at least a pruta, it has to exceed it by more than by at least a pruta, because then he can admit to a pruta and deny the shtei kesef. So he has to deny shtei kesef to be chayav. That's the position of Rav. On the other hand, Shmuel says, ta'ana atzma shtei kesef. Shmuel says, no. That the claim, the Toveya is making a claim of shtei kesef. Afilu lo kofar ele bepruta velo ele bepruta chayav. And the denial or the admission only have to be a pruta's worth. So a denial of a pruta or an admission of a pruta are sufficient over here. We do not require anything more than that. And not the shtei kesef is just the size of the claim. It's not the size of the response to that claim. So now, Amar Rava. Rava says about Rav and Shmuel's positions. Deka matnitan kaveti de Rav. Our Mishnah sounds like Rav. The Mishnah sounds very much like Rav. Vikrai and the psukim in the Torah, kaveti de Shmuel, sound a lot like Shmuel. Deka matnitan kaveti de Rav. Why does our Mishnah sound like Rav? Diktani hata'ana shtei kesef. Vehaoda'a shaveh pruta. Because it says, the ta'ana, the claim is for two kesef. I mean, and then hoda'a is a shaveh pruta. That the admission is a shaveh pruta. Ve'ilu kfirat ta'ana pruta lo ktoni. It doesn't say that there's no minimum value given to the ta'ana. It says that a hoda'a can be a pruta. But it does not say that the kfirat ta'ana can be a pruta. It means the admission of what he owes can be a pruta. But it doesn't say the denial can be a pruta. Indicating that what? What is the minimum amount for the denial? That'll be the shtei kesef. Vitznan nami. We also have an additional Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that mentions Chamesh Prutotain. There are five Prutot in the Torah. Vitznan nami. Over there it says Ha'udah bepruta. The admission in a modem mixat case has to be a pruta. Vilik firah bepruta loktani. And again, if you were right, Shmuel, that by the denial it only has to be a pruta big, then I have another case of pruta. Case of pruta is a case of kfira is a pruta, and also in our Mishnah it should have mentioned that not only is hoda be pruta, but kfira be pruta. The fact that the Mishnayot don't do that is like Rav, sounds like Rav, which is that it won't work. A pruta is not sufficient by kfira. You need shtei kesef of kfira. That sounds like Rav. Vikroi kavate de Shmuel, and the psukim sound like Shmuel. Why? Dichtiv, because it says ki itain ish el re'eyu kesef o kelim lishmor. So a person gives to his friend kesef ol kelim lishmor. Over here, there is a major machlokas about the girsa of the Gemara. Our Gemara obviously has the girsa of Rashi, and the way Rashi, I'll explain to you the question that Rashi has, which drives him to move the girsa this way, and then we'll discuss the other Rishonim who disagree. Tosavot brings down the alternative girsa. He first brings down about Rashi and agrees with him, disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam, then in the end brings down the alternative girsa that is found in the other Sefarim. So now here, Ma Kelim. So why do you have Kesef and Kelim? The puzzle says Kesef and Kelim. What does Kesef and Kelim teach us? So Ma Kelim Shnayim. Just like Kelim is two, Av Kesef Shnayim. So two, the Kesef is two. Ma Kesef Davar Chashuv. Just like the Kesef is a Davar Chashuv, Av Kol Davar Chashuv. Also, anything else is Chashuv. Now the other Sfarim, if you look at what should have been written here, well, how would you have read it? If you read this Braisa, if you knew this was the Braisa, what would you have read? I would read you like this. It should read like this. Ma kelim shnaim, af kesef shnaim. Ma kesef davar chashuv, af kli davar chashuv. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about kesef and kelim. Rashi amends the Braisa to read af kol davar chashuv instead of kelim. What drove Rashi to do this? What drove Rashi to do this is that we're going to have a Gemara coming up. The Gemara says that even if he claims machatin, even if he claims needles, right, that's enough. If he claims needles and he denies, if a modem mixas by a case of needles, that's enough, or by, sewing needles, those tiny needles, that's enough to be modem mixat. So now, if you say, kma kesef davar chashuv, just like kesef is something significant, af kli davar chashuv, Also, a kli has to be chashuv. Wait a minute. You can have needles by kelim. You don't need that. By a kli, anything that's functional becomes chashuv. So Rashi says, this is not for kelim. This is for anything but kelim. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi says that that's what it means, anything but kelim. So therefore, he changes the girsa to read af davar chashuv. On the other hand, some Tosfot goes to preserve the older girsot of the Gemara, and it's eats for him the garzi hocha. They have it like this, ma kelim davar chashuv, so that kelim are the source for davar chashuv, av kesiv davar chashuv. So based on that girsa, even though that girsa is somewhat problematic, because the Gemara in a second is going to talk about Shmuel from the Diok and the Pasuk, and Shmuel says in the Pasuk, if the Pasuk had just written kelim and not kesiv, then I would have thought, my kelim shnaim, but davar chashuv I don't need. So the word kesev is teaching me davar chashuv, not the word kelim. Despite that fact, Tosa says that there's actually a double limud. Each one learns from the other something about chashivut. And that if one had simply written the word kelim, I would have thought, you have to have two kelim. And the gzeirat hakatuv is it's any keli, despite what value, no matter what the value of the item is. Along comes kesef to teach me ma kesef davar chashuv. Just like kesef is something chashuv, so too the kli has to be chashuv, meaning that the kli has to have a minimum value of a pruta. Because kesef, the lowest denomination of kesef is a pruta. So just like kesef has to be a minimum of a pruta, so too the kli, if you have shtei kelim, that each kli has to have a value of a minimum of a pruta. Then after we've done that, then we learn from kelim to kesef. Ma kelim davar chashuv, also kesef davar chashuv. Well, let's think. The kesef, if you just said the word kesef, I would have thought two prutot. That's the minimum amount of money that one would use or was viable currency. So along comes kelim to teach you davar chashuv, that it can't just be the minimum. It has to be something of chashivut. What's that? It means shtei kesef. So it elevates the shtei prutot to shtei kesef. So according to Tosafot, the kelim are taught by kesef about chashivut, the minimum value of a pruta. On the other hand, and moving back the other way, the kelim teaches something about the kesef. Just like the kelim could have been a koshu, anything was functional, yet we say they have to have a minimum of pruta. So too by kesef, we don't just accept the minimum of a pruta as currency, but we say give something chashuv. Chashuv means shtei kesef, something that's of more significant value, more common currency, and that's the shtei dinrei kesef. So by that, Tosos is able to preserve the old girsaot, explain our Gemara, and avoid Rashi's problem, which Rashi had to eliminate the problem of Kli, which is Machatin. Well, Machatin is a koltu. Tosos avoids that problem by quoting the Rishalmi that says even the Machatim have to have a minimum of a pruta. Right, so now, back to where the Gemara focusing that this Pasuk sounds like Shmuel. Why? Because that says, Ma kelim shem av kesef shnayim. Ma kesef davar chashuv av davar chashuv v'kama rachmana ki hu zeh. The end of the pasuk says ki hu zeh. Ki hu zeh modeh b'miksat. Hu zeh. Something from this. Right? He is denying and admitting. So what was the requirement? The requirement of the pasuk is shtei kesef. And that's ki hu zeh. Then he says he's modeh b'miksat in that shtei kesef. That sounds like Shmuel. So what is Rav going to do this? Rav, ha'um mibayle leho da'a b'miksat ha'tana. Ki hu zeh teaches us that it has to be a portion of the total. That's what modeh b'miksat. That's what we know from the pasuk. Ushmol k'tiv hu v'k'tiv zeh. You have two words. You have hu and zeh. So one of them will teach you modeh b'miksat, that has to be a miksat atana, and zeh, the other one, will tell you that has to be a portion, the e-cover of a miksat. Vodi miksat chayav. So one of them teaches, right, you have both of these items. You have a k'tiv hu, v'k'tiv zeh. So if he's kofer b'miksat, vodi miksat is chayav, plus, it tells you that you only have to do a portion of what was above, the claim above, which was the shtei kesef. Rav says, no, I need both, hu and zeh, for two items. Why? Chad ho da'a b'miksat atana. I have, there are two requirements by Modeh Miksat. Modeh Miksat says, number one, it has to be a portion of the claim against him. Plus, it has to be that he denies something that he's been claimed against him. If his denial relates to something totally independent, or his admission it relates to something independent of the claim against him, it doesn't work. Ushmoel, la b'meila shmait minei dechasrolo tano. Wait a minute. He says, okay, Rav, I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree that ki uzeh means that you have to be modeh b'miksat atana, hodah b'miksat, and modeh b'miksat, number one. Number two, I agree with you, which he doesn't in the end. I'll agree with you that if it's mimin atana, it has to be mimin atana, that's that too. That I agree with you. All right, but now tell me what the pasuk means. The Pasuk says someone comes and makes a claim of Shtei Kesef, and then the Pasuk continues to say, well, if he admits a part of it, or he denies a part of it, what is it referencing? It's referencing back to the Shtei Kesef. So even without a limud in the Pasuk, Memela I know. If you tell me Modiv Miksat, I know it's talking about Miksat HaTa'ana that was made before. That means a portion of the claim before, which is Shtei Kesef, and that's like me. That's not like you, Rav. So Elam Elucho Rav, Rav has to reinterpret the Pasuk and say this, Kesef ki ato mi'ikoro l'kfiru hu da'ato. No, when it says in the Pasuk before, Shtei Kesef is not the Tana, but rather that's the denial. That's the Shtei Kesef. The word Kesef comes to teach you that that's the denial. De'im kein, because if it was not the denial, meaning that it wasn't the denial, but rather it was the claim, Lichtov Rachmana ki itein ish areyu kelim lishmor. Right, that a person gives over kelim lishmor, v'ana mina, ma kelim shnayim, af kol shnayim. Everything, two, I have to have a minimum of two of everything. So tovi, I have a minimum of two of kesef. Why do I need the word kesef in the pasuk at all? Kesef dichtov rachman olomali. What do I need kesef in the pasuk at all? Imenu linyan atana. If it's not for the claim over here, teneu inyan lekfira. We'll move it over for the denial. So that's what the Rav comes to tell you, that the denial over here, that the kesef mentioned above is not the claim based on the litigant coming to make the claim, but it's rather the denial of the defendant. That's the shtei kesef. Then ki uzez, the modeh b'miksat part of it. So the kfirah is the kesef, and the modeh b'miksat is the shtei kesef. Shmuel, Amar l'chag, ikatav rachana kelim v'lo katav kesef. Wait, you can't do that. Because had the Torah written kelim without kesef, hava mina ma kelim shnayim, av kol shnayim. Aval dover chashuv lo be'inan. We would not require something that's chashuv. Kamash malon, that you need to. That's what kelim, that's what the, at least this is according to the Gears of Rashi, that's what kesef. Kesef comes to teach you that it has to be a dovar chashuv. Right? That was the addition of the bright that had two sides to it. One, which is what kelim told us, a minimum of two. And then the kelim that teach us, I'm sorry, that the kesef that teaches us that it has to be a dovar chashuv. And that's kamash malon. That's what the Mishnah, that's what it taught us, that the kesef and the pasuk teaches us that you need the dovar chashuv. It's not enough to be shtayim, but you also need the aspect of dovar chashuv over here. The Mishnah asked Tnan, Shtei kesef yesh li biyadecha. It says you have two coins of kesef in your hand. Ein lecha yadi ela pruta. You only have a pruta patur. My time. So this is what we discussed yesterday in the Mishnah. What's the reason here? Makes a claim of two kesef, and then he has a mission of only a pruta. He's patur. Why? My time. La mishum dechasra latana. Isn't this like Rav? And therefore, what's the problem here? Problem here is that he only made a claim of two kesef, and then you have a hodat admission of one pruta. That means that his denial is for two kesef minus a pruta. That doesn't meet the minimum standard, the minimum requirement of Rav. And that's why he's patur. Vitiyuvta de Shmuel. And that'll be a strong question against Shmuel. So Amacha Shmuel, no. Misavart shavek tani. It doesn't say over here that he's asking for the value of two silver coins. Davkuk tani. It's literally written there. He's asking for two silver coins. He's not asking for the value. Like we said before yesterday, currency is fungible. You're asking for a monetary amount, and how you pay that amount, the coinage for that amount, is irrelevant. That we saw later in the Mishnah. Over here, and it's to me, this is what you asked yesterday. How do we reconcile that later part of the Gemara, the Mishnah, with this piece over here? Here's the Gemara's answer. When he claimed Shtei Kesef over here, the Shtei Kesef means literally he wants two coins, silver coins. So then, Mashatanu lo hodu lo. What he claimed, he was asking for two silver coins, and he talks back to him about a copper coin. Again, what he admits to it is also not, the admission is not relevant to the Tana. It says, what are you going to do with the Seifa? The next line in the Mishnah, which is, Shtei kesef upruta yishli biyadecha. I have two kesef and a pruta. So now I have two silver coins and a copper coin that you owe me. In the Mechayyid Ela Pruta, he admits to the copper coin, but denies the two silver coins. Chayav. Now, Iyamart Bishlama, if you hold like Rav Shaved, that we're talking about here, monetary value, Shemachi Chayav. That's why he's Chayav. In the first instance, he's Patur, because his denial doesn't reach Shtei Kesef. In this case, he is, right, Chayav, because his denial is Shtei Kesef. He admits to the Pruta, the additional Pruta is what he admits to, and the Shtei Kesef worth of denial. Now he has a Modi Miksat, according to Rav. But according to Shmuel, Iyamart Davko, according to Shmuel, it says that the first part of the Mishnah is dafko, meaning that he's asking for two silver coins, exactly. Not the money, monetary value, but two silver coins. And he says, copper coin, which is out of the parsha. It's not in the same tana. It's not mimina tana. Then what are you going to do over here? Amai chayav. Mashatano lo hodu lo, mashodu lo tano. Right? Because over here, what is he asking for? He's asking for two silver coins plus a copper coin. And he says, yeah, I owe you a copper coin. So when it comes to the copper coin, he admitted to everything. When it comes to the silver coins, he didn't admit to anything. So he's kofir bakol by the silver coins, and he's paying up the copper coin. How could you say it's minatana? We don't say that, oh, when you have two different items, they become one big package. No, each item stands independently. So if each item stands independently, it's the equivalent of tano chitin v'sorim. He's asking for wheat and barley. He says, yeah, I owe you chitin. So as regard to the barley, he hasn't done it. The barley's a kofir bakol. So Gemara says, midu avatayim elu Shmuel. Wait a minute, you're asking this whole question on Shmuel. Damar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Tanu Chitim B'Sorim, in exactly that case, where he makes a claim for wheat and barley. Ve'hodu lo be'achad me'em chayav. Your chayav, that Shmuel considers to be modem miksat. When you have two different, whether it's species, two different items or objects which are being claimed, and you deny one of the objects, according to Shmuel, that is modem b'miksat. We don't, Rab wouldn't have held that. We wouldn't have held that it's modem miksat. But Shmuel l'shitato says it is modem miksat. And that's the problem in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, when the time that it doesn't have the pruta, right? Why is he patur in the first case? In the first case, right? He's patur because the hoda'a is not miminha tana, because he's admitting to a copper coin when he's making a silver claim. And this next line of the Mishnah, when it makes a claim for silver and copper, and he admits to the copper, Shmuel l'shitato says that's modem miksat, and that's why he is chayav in this instant. Achanami mistavro. That makes a lot of sense. Miktoni seifa, because later on in the Mishnah it says litra zav yeshli biyadecha. I have a block, a litra worth, a weight, it's a, you know, a certain measurement, weight worth of zahav that I have in my hand. In my hand, no, he says, I only have a block of silver of yours. Patur. There is patur. If you say that we take it literally, I mean, he's talking about gold and silver, I mean, a block of gold and block of silver, then we understand why he is mishomachi patur, because then he is mi not hodalo me mina tana. If you say our mission is always talking about value, then why is he always saying here is give me the value of a gold block, a liter of gold block? And he can say to him, I only owe you the value of a silver block. But those are like the money items. Those are just talking about value. There you that is miminatana. So why is he patur? So Mar says, am I patur? Litra tuvavi. Right? Meaning that litra is, it's much more. Litra zav is a bigger measurement. And then litra kesef is a smaller measurement. So we see that the Seifa is talking about literally when he makes the claim, he's not saying, give me value, but actually give me the block of gold. And he responds, block of silver. That's not, doesn't match up. So too, right, the ratio of the mission, like Shmuel is explaining it now, is also Davko. When he's asking for Shtei Kesef, he's not asking for two Kesef worth of value. He's asking for two silver coins. So that's exactly, just like the Seifa is Davko, so too the ratio is Davko. Tzvi, this answers your question from yesterday when you asked the question about how do we reconcile this with the other part of the Mishnah. Lema Tavya Tiyuf to the Rav. Well, if you're going to do that, now we have a big problem against Rav. Rav thinks the problem in the Mishnah is that he doesn't have a big enough kfirah. Now all of a sudden we're saying that the problem in the Mishnah has nothing to do with the kfirah, but rather has to do with the fact that it's Dafka. Now, according to Rav, you don't need to be Dafka. Dafka is not the issue over here. Rav says it's talking about Shavet. It's talking about value over here. Amalacha Rav. Rav says no. The entire Mishnah, right, is talking about Shaveh, is talking about value. Velitra Zahav Shiny. When it comes to Litar of Zahav, that's a different case. Why is it a different case? Because it's a Litra Zahav. Litra Zahav is not a common way of speaking. You're talking about the weight of gold, you're clearly talking about gold itself. You're not talking about value. When you weigh gold, right, you're not saying you have 5 ounces of gold, 18 ounces of gold. You're talking about gold and ounces, you're not talking about the value of the gold, you're talking about the object itself. You're making a claim on the object, not a claim on the value. And Teda, I can prove that to you, the Katani Seifa, because in the Seifa it says, Dinar Zahav Libi Adecha. Ein lecha biyadila dinar kesef, etrisi tu pundion uputa chayav, shakol min matbea chadein. Because there, they're all the same thing. They're all coinage, they're all currency. So they're all currency, it matches up. So you see that we're talking about Shaveh. So Iyamart Bishlama Shaveh Mishumachi Chayav. Iyamart Davka Amai Chayav. But if you say Davka like Shmo, then why is he Chayav? Stop over here.